What's up, y'all, and welcome back to Found Bites, a game review series. My name is Brian, and I'll be your host. If you don't know about us, we're all about finding and testing out small, high-quality video games. This is a podcast that aims to respect your time and money as a gamer and a consumer by sifting through storefronts and sales to find those gems that may be worth your precious resources. But enough about the show. Let's get into our next game. Indica is the game for this week's episode. Indica is a 2024 third-person adventure game developed by Odd Meter. And this game is available on PC, PS5, and Xbox Series X and S. And that was made available in May of 2024. Nothing on PS4 or Switch, which is interesting. And for me, the draw initially was just a really intriguing concept. This narrative adventure where you're playing as a nun. And the setting is also interesting. It's set in like an alternate history post-World War I Russia. And so just that alone is something that's really intriguing. I mean, I've never played a third-person game as a nun, and that alone was just something that really stuck out to me. And then as I'm playing it, what I'm discovering along the way is that there's a lot of similarities, at least visually, and the cameras and things like that with Hellblade, but no combat, so not that comparison, but just the voices and, you know, the camera switching and the realism on the character's face, and also a lot of meta things and things involved with characters. There's more than one character in this game, but I definitely felt a lot of those similarities, and a lot of similarities with a lot of walking sims. You know, there's not a ton to do in this game, but your games like Everybody's Gone to the Rapture, or even something like Call of Cthulhu, similar in terms of just things that you can interact with. But I've seen a lot of comparisons with games like A Plague Tale, things like that, where you're kind of walking and interacting with things, but it's not like an action game. And also thematically, in terms of things that happen, it's an odd game. And so you'll see a lot of similarities, at least in the feelings that you get with games like Inside. So if you've ever played that, sort of the trajectory or where it leaves you at times, as well as Inscription with like the different variations of literally what you're doing. And I'll try not to spoil too much in this game, but overall just a strange game. There'll be moments of wow and silly and also like what the hell is going on. The game released with a price point of $24.99. I got it on sale on PS5 for $18.74. And it's supposed to take about 4 to 5 hours. I think I put a little more than 5 hours in, exploring a little more, being thorough. The game does have a physical release. I think it's already been out, only on PS5. And I see it pretty much on all retailers, so Best Buy, Amazon, things like that. And that's going for $30 just for the physical. I think it's just a basic box. I don't even know if there's anything in it, but it has the disc. And we said the game was developed by Odd Meter. This is not a team I've heard of before. They seem like a small team. It looks like on their website they've released some small things before, but this looks like the first major thing that's getting a lot of attention. And they're interesting because I think they're based out of two different locations. So maybe it's a small team spread out, like one's in Spain and Barcelona, the other's in Kazakhstan, or at least those are the locations that are listed on their website. So interesting small team there, kind of making a splash here, at least in the indie scene. And in terms of just figuring out where this came from or getting the buzz of this, I guess I had seen this pop up a little bit, maybe on Twitter or something like that. But I think it was actually on the front page of the PS5 store at some point. And something about just the cover and the black and yellow, kind of that contrast and the idea of it being a nun and there's other nuns in the picture really just caught my eye, I think. Don't know if I really heard much about this. I think after I started playing it, I definitely started to hear more information trickle and people putting it up as like indie game of the year or something like that. I think it may have actually had presence at the Game Awards. Maybe it got nominated. I don't know if it won, but I just saw it on the store and thought of the concept and was kind of interested, and so I gave it a try. We'll be right back. right, let's talk gameplay for Indica. And so this is a third-person game, and you have the camera in third-person, and guess what? You can invert both axes in the game. Again, something that some AAA games can't do, but apparently these indie games see no problem in it. You can invert both X and Y axis for your camera. But let's talk about some of the other basic controls. So you're moving your character in this third-person view, and she kind of has one speed unless you hold a button to run. And she essentially has unlimited stamina, but you can't always run, and it's not very clear when you can and when you can't. Sometimes you are walking outside in heavier snow. I think you can hold the run button and she'll move a little faster, but I think the snow impedes it. But also when you're in small spaces or in more reverent locations, I think you're not allowed to run. It's just something that, honestly, I just kept trying on and off, and I would run around and be able to do it, and then I'd be in some locations and I wasn't able to. Just not that advertised or consistent, but I would say more often you can run than you can't. And other than that, you're going to be interacting with things, and these prompts will show up when you get close to things, and these can be simple things like looking at objects. So when you're close to an object, you'll see the prompt to interact with it. It could be a little more interactive things like turn or manipulate things. Maybe sometimes you can pick up objects and look at them. You're going to be able to climb up certain things that are a certain height. Anything sort of higher than that, you won't be able to, but again, you'll see the prompt come up. You'll be able to grab and move things, like there'll be carts on wheels that you can grab and move, and then she can climb up them and potentially to another level. And then, of course, simple things like being able to read things or interact with something and get a little cutscene where she does something. Sometimes it'll change the angle that you're seeing it, sometimes it won't. And then finally, you'll have a lamp kind of on your belt, I guess, and you can hit a button to turn it on and off. Sometimes you'll do it automatically, but sometimes you'll find yourself in a dark place and you'll have to kind of do it to see things. So let's talk progression in this game. It's very linear. And I really feel a lot of comparisons to games like Inside and Limbo, because you're going to be just moving forward and moving forward. The game is played in chapters, and there's about 20-ish of them. Once you cross over to a new chapter, you seemingly can't go back, at least where you are. It's like you come across a blocked path, or like maybe sometimes a cutscene happened where like now you're in a different location and the door is locked, or something happened where, you know, the path that you were on before is now blocked for whatever reason. And then sometimes in between these, there'll just be like a black screen. It might not even be that you're prohibited from a certain location. It's just like a new chapter because something happened, or the game just decided to do a black screen and then open it back up. It's really not always the same thing, and that's fine. But a lot of while you're going about and moving through this game is going to be just navigating 3D environments. Sometimes it'll just be moving and finding the right path. Sometimes there'll be light puzzling. We talked about interacting with different things. Sometimes it could be using objects. Like sometimes she'll pick up ladders and you have to move them to a different place to see where she can climb up. There can be timed platforming. And then also sometimes you'll have another NPC with you, and so you'll have sort of interactive things, kind of like The Last of Us or games like that, where it's like you're commanding them to do something so you can go to do something else. But as you're on this linear path, there's going to be sort of this light open exploration that is about. I mean, you are in these 3D environments, and it's not necessarily like gated, like you're walking down a hallway constantly. You're like, you are going to be outside and in open areas. And this could be something as simple as just like you have to go in one direction, but there are multiple paths and you can try them both and you find out that they rejoin. It could be just to explore the area, get a sense for what's around you and the environment. You might just like want to check both just in case you don't miss anything. And speaking of missing anything, a lot of what you're going to be doing as you're walking through, if there are multiple paths or rooms to look at, is searching for collectibles. So there will be some quote unquote collectibles in the game, or certain interactions that you can do with things. Like one thing she does a lot is she'll light a candle in a room if there's a place to do so. And so that's something you might try to do, find all the candles that she can light. And doing these things will actually have your character gain points. And this is very interesting, and I think it ties a lot into sort of the lore or the themes of what's going on in the game, which is that there's kind of this virtue-related level system in the game. And if you're looking at the screen as soon as you start the game, in the top left corner, you're always going to see the amount of points that you have. and it'll be out of a maximum. And what that means is, like, you have to get to this many points to quote unquote level up. And then once you do, you can go to the level up screen in the menu. And essentially all you're doing in the level up screen is choosing one of two rewards once you get to that level. And these rewards are interesting because they're just different ways to gain more points. And so you might have two options where one is just like, choose this one to gain 8 points now. And then the other one's like, choose this to gain like a point multiplier of 1.2 every time you gain points or something like that. What's interesting is that it's kind of a weird means to an end. Like, it's just getting points so that you have the ability to get more points. And the game actually tells you multiple times throughout the game that points don't matter. So it's, you know, like, whose line is it anyway? Game where everything's made up and the points don't matter. But the game keeps telling you this, and it makes sense as you look at the rewards for the different points, because there's nothing that you're actually getting, which is interesting. And something else that's interesting that you come across as you're progressing through the game is this variation of gameplay. And I definitely don't want to spoil too many things, but obviously we talked about how it's a third-person adventure game, so you're solving puzzles. Sometimes you might move the camera around and have to hurry through things that are timed. There might be a chase sequence or two. There are some other drastic things that are a little bit different, like there's some literal platforming instances. Again, I don't want to spoil too much. Other times there might be a change in the point of view of the camera, which is super interesting and kind of cerebral. Again, this is where I really feel the comparison with Hellblade, whether the camera's like really fixated on her face, so you're seeing her face from the front, or other situations like that. And so I feel like there's a nice, interesting balance between what you're doing in the game. It's not just you walking around as a walking simulator. There are other times where you're actually having to do things that might involve a little bit of skill, or at least have the illusion that there is a little bit of skill involved. And in terms of accessibility, what's interesting is that, like I said, this game is played in chapters, and I think it really only saves at the beginning of a chapter, or at least that's what I felt. So, like, a similar situation with Jusant, which is a game that we just did, anytime that you're exiting the game, you want to be very aware of the last time a chapter seemingly started, because it doesn't really advertise it to you. But most of the time, if there was just a cutscene, or you come to a new area, like I said before, where it's like the path behind you is blocked, that is definitely the sign that you started a new chapter. Once you start to see those sort of hard cuts, I wouldn't worry too much, and it saves right there, so you can turn it off and then come back to where you are right then. What's also interesting, though, is the game has a chapter select. And so if you leave the game and you're pretty far and you maybe want to go back and look at some other things, or I don't know how entwined the trophy list is. I didn't really get too crazy with it. But similar to a game called Cocoon that we did, which is that you can go back and look at the different chapters and even look at them by name. I don't know how it resets your progress or if you can just hop in and out of chapters, but that is an option if you're interested in doing trophies and things like that. And you can die, and you're going to see this a lot when you come across different puzzles or different timed events that you have to do. It's really not that big of a deal. You'll just respawn to, like, right at the beginning of the sequence. This is going to be things like falling down a pit or hit by something dangerous, or something falls on you. So there's a little bit of like, oh, I got to try this sequence again, but really no big deal if you aren't getting it or it's not clicking right away, because you'll reset right back and be able to do it again. Let's talk about the vibe of Indica, and let's start with the visuals. So I've made this comparison already, but a lot of similarities with Hellblade. Maybe it's just in the look of the character, but especially whenever you're zoomed in on her face, really a lot of hyper-realism there. Her eyes, the things that they're doing, her face looking scared or skeptic, her eyes are constantly darting back and forth or feeling a bit awkward. Definitely her face in general is very dynamic. You can tell they spent a lot of time trying to get sort of emotions or, you know, facial expressions and things like that. When you look at other characters, it's not as much. They don't necessarily express themselves as much. A lot of the characters are pretty much stone-faced that you come across, and really a lack of body detail. Even some of the people that you spend a lot of time with, like, they have things going on and they're just not as detailed as your character, despite the fact that your character is really just wearing all black. But at least in the face, I would say that she is probably the most dynamic and the most detailed. Something that's interesting with you and other characters is the mouth. It's really not consistent with the dialogue that they're speaking. There were a couple times I didn't know if, like, it was intentional or maybe it could be that they're actually mouthing another language. This is something that happened in Ghosts of Tsushima, because I had them on the Japanese because I wanted the subtitles, but they were actually mouthing the words in English. So I don't know if that's the case here, but a little distracting as you're trying to maybe connect with the characters or see them connect with each other, and you're hearing things, but it's not matching the mouth. The environments are pretty interesting because it's this snowy Russian wilderness. And so you really feel that. There's a lot of snow on the ground, and you're going to be trekking through small towns. Really just drab and dark. Always overcast. It's never, like, sunny. Never bright colors. Everything is drab. It's a lot of snow, and a lot of materials that you see, you're going to see wood and metal. And they're going to be dark and not too defined, but you'll come across a lot of fences in the snow that are made of wood that, you know, you can see the wood grain. It looks fine. Doors, cabins, and a lot of machinery, so things made of metal. And the places that you go are also going to be filled with this, especially when you're indoors. And what's interesting is you're going to be indoors a lot, and there's going to be a lot of darkness. Like, you're going to go through caves that won't be naturally lit. And even if it was naturally lit, there's not a lot of light outside because there's overcast. And you're going to go inside people's homes, inside different rooms. So you're going to see those different things, machinery, wood. And again, having that lamp is going to be key, because when you go inside a place, it will be kind of dark, even though it's light outside. But you definitely want to flip that lamp on, and you'll get a lot more detail about some of the things that are around, whether you can interact with or whether they're just tchotchkes or all kinds of things that are on tables and such. And then outside, like I said, just a lot of wilderness, snowy Russian wilderness. So you'll see trees, you'll be blocked by trees on certain paths. That's really how you're going to get gated, as well as walking up to the edge of water, whether it's rivers or small ponds or lakes or things like that. So that's really going to be some of the main hindrance, trying to direct you where you can and can't go. And every now and then, though, you're going to have splashes of color. And this is honestly related mostly to the points that you're awarded. So anytime you do something that you get points for, like this strange pixelated yellow hexagon just pops up over your character. It seems so out of place, but this will happen a lot. And so it'll bring a little bit of color in. And I even think it, like, glows a little bit. And so you can kind of feel it on your character. Red is, I guess, perceived as evil. Sometimes you'll see light sources that are red and something is happening. I won't really give away too much, but there's definitely that red negative effect. And then other times when things swap, when all of a sudden there's a cutscene or something goes to black and you're doing something different gameplay-wise, there are a lot of visual changes that are very jarring. And I'll really just leave it at that. Don't want to spoil too much. In terms of audio, this was very interesting. I felt like at times, especially when you're outside walking through the wilderness, most of the music is kind of low and drab and, you know, feels a bit lonely and harrowing. But a lot of the times you're hearing sort of abrupt or odd sounds that almost have like a retro or 8-bit style to them, or have this weird demented feeling that's super out of place. I don't know if it's meant to feel Uncanny Valley-like, but a lot of similarities with soundtracks like games like Norco and Signalis, like just strange sounds that seem so odd and out of place. Sometimes it sounds like scraping or scratching, and I don't know if it's intentional, but I felt a lot of times like the sound was really distorted, and it almost felt like noise. And again, I don't know if that's what they were going for, but I had to, like, go into the menus and turn down some of the music because some of the bass pops were really, like, coming in big and really kind of blowing out my speakers. Just felt weird. And at times as I was trying to read or even hear a character talk, like, I was getting, like, this popping, and it was really just too much and super distracting. So I had to mess with that. I don't know if that was just my audio system. I use a gaming chair, which is not ideal audio, but I still think there's nothing wrong with my audio. So just look out for that if you're triggered by sounds and noises. This game has some really odd music in it. And then the voices that you hear, interesting as well. At times, I feel like the levels were a bit inconsistent. Sometimes, you know, it would be totally apropos for your character to be shouting at the NPC across the room or whatever. But sometimes, like, it didn't know whether the character was close or far. Like, she was shouting at the NPC who's, like, right next to her. And the other one's, like, talking super soft. Or sometimes she's talking super soft when answering someone far away. Just awkward at times. And other times, the context of what's being said and what is being responded to felt a bit awkward. Like, the tone or the cadence of what someone is responding to or saying. Honestly, it flashed me back to a lot of Final Fantasy X, which was one of the major games to try voice acting for the first time. And it would almost be like some lines were recorded, you know, just separately without the context of what was said around them. And I felt that a little bit here. Again, I'm not sure if that was intentional to try and make things feel out of place. There's certainly a lot of stuff in this game that is odd. But I will say I like the voice acting in general. Really like the main girl and the occasional NPC that came along. And I just liked, you know, the dialogue, but also how things were expressed when the context felt like it was right. And then you have this narrator who is kind of talking in her head, I guess, or describing what she's doing or whatnot, who was just really, really good. A combination of like a Vincent Price and like whoever narrated the Grinch, the Dr. Seuss cartoon. So really chilling the way that this narrator spoke at times, and a little bit of meta stuff, maybe a little bit of fourth wall stuff. Again, don't want to spoil too much. Let's talk about the setting. I said before, kind of the snowy Russian wilderness. So there's something about the characters being in Russia in what seems like an alternative history. Again, kind of post-World War I, turn of the century. And you kind of get some context for this. At a couple points, they use the word czar. So they're talking about the czar of this or that, or the different things that you can read or the objects that you're looking at. Certainly a lot of religious things that you'll come across. And speaking of religious things, definitely a lot of mention of God and the devil and sin. Obviously, your character is a nun and that plays a huge role, but definitely some questions of morality. Interesting conversations that characters have or that characters have within themselves, kind of achieving some meta stuff. I mean, a conversation about what is good, what does good mean? And we talked about the narrator kind of being in her head, but there's, you know, some interesting commentary from the narrator or conversation. And this also relates to my comparison with Hellblade, because a lot of similar feels to how the character interacts when they're alone or with other characters. And speaking of your character, there's a lot that's revealed as you get through the game, a lot about the past of this character and the journey that they're on, what they're going through. Again, interesting conversations that they're having with other NPCs. Again, there are some comparisons, I feel, gameplay-wise with The Last of Us, but there are some moments in this game that kind of give me interesting connections between characters. And I'm not saying it's like at the level of The Last of Us or things that Naughty Dog does, but there are definitely times where interactions are intriguing, the conversations are super poignant, and your character in general, the journey that she's on and the learning and the growth and the tackling of the morality from all angles is just really interesting. A lot of head scratching, interesting interactions and things that are going on that question things and don't necessarily have an answer, kind of leaving it open-ended, which is something that I find pretty fascinating. Let's wrap up the conversation about Indica. And so I've said it before, but this is an odd game. definitely a similar experience to games like Inside that may have some kind of meta, I don't want to say agenda, but commentary potentially. I don't know. I can't quite put my finger on it, but certainly some of the things that are discussed left me thinking a bit. Really strange juxtaposition of a lot of different ideas and themes. Again, there might be some interesting takeaways about morality and moral hypocrisy, I feel, certainly at a couple moments throughout the game. I don't know what this is supposed to be, if it's supposed to mean something more. I think that it is probably more than a game just about a nun. Maybe. It's definitely simple in the things that you're actually doing in the gameplay. But in terms of a story or what's going on, or if it's an allegory, or there is something interesting. I can't quite put my finger on it. And the journey, I would say, that you go on is also interesting. Again, I feel like it flies pretty close to a solid story, having really interesting character moments. The variation in gameplay is odd but refreshing. And for both of those points, I see comparisons with games like The Last of Us, kind of, and games like Inscription, kind of, where things are very interesting, you'll have meaningful moments, but the game itself is moving around and doing different things, kind of like Inscription, that's jolting you from one gameplay variation to another. But I will say, I feel like the tethers between some of these things that seem very different, I did understand the connection by the end of it. In terms of value, I think 25 might be a little steep, especially for a lot of people that are skeptic of sort of walking simulators. Not that this is quite that. I definitely appreciate what went into what I would say the comparisons between this and Hellblade, sort of the realism of the character and the interactions that she's having with other people and with herself, as well as the strange journey that she goes on. I do feel like as a price point, 20 might be better. I think that's what Inside was priced at for an MSRP. But I think in terms of value, 15 bucks on sale would be ideal. I paid a little more than 18. I'm good with that. I might have waited a bit for it to slip down, but I was intrigued by just the concept. This is definitely not a game for everyone. I keep making these comparisons to games like Inside. It's an interesting journey and a story to be told. I did enjoy playing it. I probably won't play it again. I'm definitely not going to go back for the trophies or anything like that, but it will be an experience that I think will stick with me. And if you're someone who's open to an experience type of game that's super odd and strange at times, that leaves you with sort of like a, huh, that's interesting, I think that it might be worth checking out for you. And so if that's you, I highly recommend this game. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Stay tuned for our next episode to see what new game we found for you.